Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster. Today, Michael Geist on Canada's new broadcasting bill.
I was asked today to speak to Canada's new broadcasting bill. So a little bit less on the speech, but I am happy certainly to get into some of the other things that are taking place in Canada. In fact, the very first slide that I wanted to put forward was just to note that Canada is busy right now. We've seen, I think like many other countries, a shift in attitude from our government. It was a government that not that long ago was really happy to appear on a stage together with Google and was talking about all the benefits that was coming from innovation and from these companies. We've seen a real sea change in attitude, and that is pervasive across a pretty wide range of policies. Just to highlight some, I will focus today to give you the background on how we've arrived at where we're moving towards with respect to broadcast regulation, which incorporates a number of the platforms. But just to note, there are a number of other things taking place as well. We are moving forward on privacy, a tangential issue, I suppose, to some of the things we're talking about here today, with legislation that is designed to really update Canada and make it more closely aligned to the GDPR. It's not identical, but it contains some of the same kinds of provisions that you find there. There will be, there is a very strong expectation that there will be an online harms bill forthcoming. It could come this week or next, based on the comments that we've seen from the Heritage Minister in Canada, who's been given carriage of many of these issues. It's not entirely clear what it will include, so it's hard to provide the same kind of specificity that we just had from the previous presentation, for example. We know that there will be some provisions that will certainly target platforms. It may look a lot like the NetzDG law, but as I say, the government has not broadly consulted or frankly provided many significant hints, other than it is very interested in tackling online hate, harms, and the like. There are some concerns consistent with just the very last question, that the regulatory scope may be very broad. The minister has spoken sometimes not just about illegal content, certainly, but about harmful content and even about hurtful content, which I think has raised a lot of concerns from those in the civil liberties side. There's been also a lot of talk around news and platform regulation. As you'll hear in a moment, it is not covered directly in any event by the broadcasting legislation that we have in Canada or forthcoming. But the minister has again indicated that he's following both the situation in Australia as well as what's taking place in France very closely. He suggested that there will be a Made in Canada solution. I must admit, my guess is that the Made in Canada solution will look a lot like what we saw from Facebook and the government of Australia a few hours ago, in which they basically reach an agreement where Facebook says, we're making contributions as long as you recognize those contributions, and we get to decide what we're contributing to. We'll meet whatever requirements that you're looking for, but that remains to be seen. One last point, and then I'll get to the substance of what I was planning to talk about, is that Canada has also worked to develop what might be described as a coalition of the willing in bringing together countries that are all looking at some of the same kinds of issues. This was raised by the Heritage Minister in an appearance on CNN over the weekend. He met last week with governments of a number of different countries. I think there were five or six to start. He's talking about trying to bring together about maybe 15 different governments. And his hope is that those governments will present a common front when negotiating with the very large platforms on some of these issues. So Canadian government very, very active on many of these issues. And interestingly enough, doing all of this in a minority government situation. But there is, at least at the moment, not a significant amount of opposition from the opposition on many of these policies. Okay, let me quickly go through then what I wanted to talk a bit about from a broadcast perspective, and just to give you very quickly 3 minutes or so on the background. of how we arrive where we are today and then what the government has in mind in the future. The starting point from a Canadian perspective is to understand that the last time there was the significant policies that have really underlied broadcasting and the internet in Canada were developed in the late 1990s in Canada, and we've not seen significant changes since. Those policies took the position that Canada's regulator, the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC, had the power to regulate under existing law. So the view was that with the exception of alphanumeric text, broadcasting, whether it took place or what we viewed as broadcasting, the dissemination of audiovisual content would be covered by the existing Broadcasting Act. That said, the view in the late 1990s was that regulating that aspect from an online perspective would not meet the policy objectives of the Act. And so they created an exemption order specifically for what was described as you can see, new media broadcast undertakings. That opened the door to enabling any number of different services. At this time, it wasn't a broadband era, so there wasn't a lot of streaming. But of course, over the years, we started to see many services avail themselves effectively of the exemption and fall outside strict regulation based on that exemption. Indeed, perhaps the best example is this service, iCrave TV, which was a service that in fact started streaming, I think it was in 1999. Very, very early days for streaming, doing it over dial-up modems, using that system, arguing that they were effectively the equivalent of an internet cable system. They were shut down through lawsuits, predominantly coming out of the United States, which objected to the streaming of any content online. It suggests that we've been dealing with these kinds of questions about streamers literally for more than two decades. There was an attempt to revisit that in 2012. Many of the groups started to say we're seeing the changes. Of course, services like YouTube had by that time become very popular, but there was still the same decision was taken and there was no significant changes to the exemption order. That fall, in the aftermath of that, or even during that period of time, the government at the time was a conservative government, and many of these issues in Canada were really framed around consumer costs. And so, for example, this notion of a no Netflix tax was a popular political refrain. It was literally our former Prime Minister Stephen Harper ran on it as one of the positions that the government took. And there were really no opposition parties interested in being seen as pro-tax for services like Netflix. And so these issues were largely placed to the side. In fact, the CRTC at the time was led by a chair whose, it was fairly clear, mandate was to ensure that a more market-oriented approach was adopted. They launched a wide consultation on the issue known as the Let's Talk TV consultation, in which they largely looked at internet platforms, streaming services as being pro-competitive, and looking to incentivize even existing legacy broadcasters to move online, to compete in that space, and not to, in their view, over-regulate the space. Even with the new Liberal government, which took power in 2015 in Canada, initially the same position was largely taken. In fact, the former Heritage Minister under the Liberal government, Melanie Joly, launched a national consultation on the issue. It was this Creative Canada consultation. And the outcome of that was that they did not want to regulate large platforms as part of this. They felt that they could best meet Canada's policy objectives, largely through negotiation, which may, as I say, end up where maybe where we do end up on some of these issues. But they got commitments from companies to invest in Canada, including Netflix, which made a specific investment to invest in. They indicate that Canada is one of the top three countries in which they do invest from a production perspective. They've done that without regulation, at least to date. And so that was the approach, but it no longer is the approach. It started, I suppose, with a pair of documents, one coming from the CRTC, which revisited this issue yet again, this time under a new chair, resulting in this particular report, Harnessing Change. And so this, that alone, the title is indicative of the change that we saw in Canada with the regulator now not looking so much to enable what was taking place per se, but or at least enable it through increased regulation by harnessing what was taking place. In fact, they've come up with subsequent reports that talk about harnessing the internet and the like. So this notion that the regulator can still engage effectively in this environment has become one of the recurring themes, I think, from the current CRTC. The other major report was issued just almost exactly a year ago. It's known in Canada as the Yale Report, but it's effectively the Broadcast and Telecommunications Legislative Review Report. Government had tasked a review panel to review Canada's broadcast and telecommunications laws and provide a series of recommendations. It's an extensive report that's worth taking a look at. I'm fairly critical of quite a number of elements of it, but the part that the government has picked up on first is effectively Bill C-10. They haven't done everything with it, but they've done a bunch with respect to broadcast regulation. So it's very quickly the Canadian journey to this point. Bill C-10 is the legislation that is currently before the House of Commons. It was introduced in November of last year, and it just passed second reading, which from a Canadian perspective means that it has now been read twice in the House of Commons. It has been the subject of a fair amount of debate in the House, although I think it's fair to say there is not a significant amount of opposition to it. At least there hasn't been to date, and it has now been referred to a committee for further study. I appeared before that committee a few weeks ago. They are continuing. They've had they're now meeting every couple of days with various witnesses, and I think there's some expectation that they will try to get this bill through probably by the end of March, I would think, and the government will pass it. It will have to go to the Senate, but this is viewed as a significant government priority, as I mentioned, in a minority government situation. Okay, some of the core policies and provisions that you find in the legislation. At its heart, what this legislation seeks to do is to expand the notion of what the so-called system is with respect to broadcast regulation. And so the Canadian approach has long been that we have a system. That system has in the past included broadcasters, cable and satellite providers, broadcast distributors, BDUs, and that there has been this view that as beneficiaries of this broadcast system, there were obligations both to be regulated, but also to pay back into that system. This now expands, this bill has the effect of expanding the system to include what are described as online undertakings. Online undertakings become part of the broader world of a broadcast undertaking. And in doing so, it opens the door to a myriad of potential regulation from the regulator. And so the law enables the regulator, the CRTC, to impose conditions on broadcasting undertakings. That, of course, now includes these online undertakings. There are not a large number of exemptions in this, at least at the moment. And so in theory, it really applies to anyone offering audiovisual services to Canadians. There is an expectation that the regulator will create some exemptions so that there may be some threshold requirements, either from a revenue perspective in Canada or a certain number of subscribers. But nevertheless, at the moment, it takes an all-encompassing view that everybody is subject pretty much to Canadian regulation so long as they have some Canadian subscribers. Obviously, a physical presence is not required in the country. It is simply a matter of the service being available with some Canadian users. The one exception to that is a specific exemption for user-generated content. Notably, the exemption applies to the creators of that content. So individuals who create user-generated content are not captured by this legislation. That exception is directly there. But the exclusion of potentially platforms as part of that is far more limited. And so you would have to be a platform exclusively devoted to user-generated content in order to be avail yourself of this particular exemption. Services that provide other services alongside user-generated content will remain subject, at least for now, to the legislation unless they are exempted by the CRTC. The kinds of conditions that can be included, the most prominent one certainly is mandated payments. The government, and the idea is that this money would go into a fund. So there is an existing fund that broadcasters and broadcast distributors pay into. This would be a fund that would go in specifically from the online undertakings that would go to support the creation of Canadian content. There isn't certainty yet as to how much that will be. The expectation, though, is that it'll be quite high. The government has suggested this could generate, from a Canadian perspective, as much as $1 billion a year in new revenue. The only way they can arrive at that math is to treat online undertakings basically as equivalent to broadcasters and require a 30% contribution based on revenues within the country. It is a pretty sizable contribution if that's what the regulator decides, but it's certainly what the government has in mind. There are requirements for data disclosures. So information on algorithms, information on viewership, information on users. We did have an incident a number of years ago where both Google and Netflix refused to disclose information to the regulator, arguing that they were not subject to regulation and that they could not be assured that information would be kept confidential. This addresses that, mandating the disclosure of data. Notably, even services that are exempted from some of the other requirements, such as content creation, could still find themselves, in fact, are likely to find themselves subject to data disclosure requirements as part of this. There are also the prospect of discoverability requirements, requirements to ensure that Canadian content is made more discoverable or more prominent on these services. So that gets in a little bit into some of the algorithmic choices. It's not clear precisely how that will play out. There are no specifics in the legislation other than to say that the CRTC can make it a requirement.
Time is over.
Oh, okay. Can you just give me 2 minutes just to wrap? Okay, thanks. Sorry about that. So just very quickly, there are penalties for failure to comply. I should note that by treating all of this as one system, it actually removes some longstanding Canadian policy priorities. So for example, the law has long had things like Canadian ownership requirements for broadcasters, prioritization of Canadian talent, and prioritization of Canadian intellectual property. But by treating all players as part of the same system, those policy priorities have effectively had to be removed. That's sparked some opposition, certainly from the creator groups. And finally, three last points. One, the government says it will come out with a policy direction that will provide further detail. It's not in the bill, but it is expected after the bill is passed. There will then be a hearing at the regulator that will set out all sorts of issues. And then finally, just overhanging all of this is the question as to whether or not all of this is compliant actually both with our Constitution, but also with the new trade agreement that we signed with the United States, the USMCA.
That was Michael Geist on Canada's new broadcasting bill. You've listened to Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster.